Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 30th, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, Drowning in Migrants. Europe seems to be drowning in a new wave of migrants from Africa. Italy, Spain, and Greece are seeing an upsurge in migrant numbers, new stories of migrant boats drowning, and new stories of entire towns and regions in Europe becoming awash in migrants. If the trend continues, in a few years, the entire southern shoreline of Europe will become Muslim. Migrants will swamp it, Islam will take over, and democracy, precisely the ideology that has allowed migrants to settle in Europe, will be a thing of the past there. It will not stop in southern Europe. Despite some resistance, the same scenario will unfold in central and western Europe. The Muslims who have come there since the beginning of the wave in 2015, and those who have been there for 20 or 30 years, have formed a comfortable cushion for newcomers. They will not need to change their culture, as did the first immigrants who moved into Europe some 30 years ago. The new migrants will feel very much at home among their fellow Muslims, and the native Europeans, both secular and Christian, will succumb to the newcomers' takeover of Europe. Regrettably, the mandatory education program that I wrote about years ago has not been implemented to this day, and as a result, the situation now is even more dire than before. However, there is still time. The only way for Europe to avoid a transformation into a Muslim continent is to employ mandatory education on everyone who comes there before they come, and on all those who have come recently. That way, those who are unwilling to change will not be allowed to migrate, and those who do, will know where they are coming and how to conduct themselves according to the European spirit of democracy and socialism. Another crucial element that must pervade through the educational system that Europe must employ is the concept of the oneness of humanity. People must understand that we are interdependent, that a problem anywhere is a problem everywhere, as the coronavirus demonstrated all too well over the past year and a half. Today, understanding our mutual responsibility is the most important since our lives depend on understanding it. If people living in conflict areas will understand that the conflicts between them will not be solved by war, that they must form unity above their differences, yet without eliminating those differences, they will transcend the problems that plague the world today. If they do not understand it and struggle with each other to impose their own beliefs on others, it will demolish everyone, losers and winners alike. In an interdependent system, where everything is part of the whole, the well-being of one part affects the well-being of the entire whole. Think of a ball full of air. As long as it is full, you can play with it and enjoy it. But if there is a tiny hole in the ball, the entire ball becomes deflated and completely useless. This is how we need to think of humanity. If Europeans can teach themselves this simple truth, they just might be able to save their home and become a prosperous continent once more. Why did we come to the land of Israel? Question: what is your opinion on the truce and ceasefire between Israel and Palestine? How did you take it? Answer: I take it in a very straightforward way. My opinion does not change. Since the Jewish people came to this country, they must know why they are here. They did not just run away from earthly problems, they came here to demonstrate their goal and their spiritual purpose to themselves and to all the nations of the world. If they do not do that, then of course they cannot live on this land. Other nations can more or less exist here somehow but not them. Therefore, I am not very happy that we took over this land and that we are behaving in this way here. Year by year, we are becoming more and more egoistic, we are not setting an example to other nations of how we should live even within our own people. There are huge contradictions between us, all sorts of egoistic relations that do not exist among other nations. Thus, we are not in the land of Israel but in exile from our spiritual properties of connection and love. Therefore, I do not see any special circumstance in the fact that after the war, which gave us a little shake, the so-called truce came. If we, the Jews, especially those who live here in Israel, do not change, then the world will not change. We will continue to live in a state of not even a truce but just a temporary ceasefire, and we will again be forced to fight. Our neighbors will not leave us alone. They will continue to prepare an increasingly sophisticated war, and each time these wars will become more serious. We have a very serious enemy. And this is natural. This is as it should be because we are not fulfilling our historical role. From CAB TV's Talks. Leonid Makarin and Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman, May 21, 2021. Connect all opposite parts of creation. We must connect all the opposite parts of creation and connect with the Creator. But first, we must discover these opposites in the entire creation and be convinced that it is impossible to connect them together. Only because we are in this corporeal imaginary world can we imagine that two parts of creation can connect. But gradually, this deception will be revealed. This is what happens today when we find that we cannot get along with each other, we cannot get close and be friends. We tolerate each other only out of necessity, subconsciously making an egoistic calculation that it is more profitable to live in peace, or we simply will not survive. But this does not mean that we complement each other and use our oppositeness to our advantage. We still have a lot of work to do to find out that any detail of creation that we are able to distinguish is revealed to us only through the presence of the opposite quality. And so, day by day, we will find ourselves in an increasingly broken world. And although we are already accustomed to such an existence, we must admit that our whole reality is completely egoistic, that no one supports another, and that no one wants the others to exist in the way they want to. So, we come to the revelation of complete separation from which we will begin to elevate ourselves, we will reveal the necessity and benefit of the shattered desires, and we will want to bring them closer and connect them correctly. Only by the right combination do we bring the whole creation back to the correct, good connection. Then people will stop becoming increasingly disconnected and galaxies will stop spreading apart and distancing from each other. Because thanks to the right connection, everyone will find a place within others. This is the way to achieve correction of creation. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, May 20, 2021, Justifying the Creator. Michael Leitman, on Quora, Why is envy a bad thing? In a society where consumerist and materialistic values envelop us, then we commonly feel envy as bad because it places us in a negative competition against each other. That is, due to envy, we feel worse about ourselves, because it makes us feel weaker, smaller, slower, and generally worse off than others. Likewise, envy can lead to us becoming ready to trample on others in order to make ourselves appear bigger, stronger, faster and generally better than them. We feel envy as a blow to our very selves, our egos. We are made of egoistic desires to enjoy, and envy makes us feel that others enjoy more than we do, or enjoy in places where we feel no enjoyment. It thus makes us feel deprived of enjoyments that other people receive, and their surplus enjoyment, whether it be better health, more successful relationships, more wealth, respect, fame, power or knowledge, seemingly elevates them over us. My teacher, Rabash, used to say that he would love to wear his pajamas everywhere he went, because pajamas were his most comfortable clothes. Why, then, didn't he? It was because it would have been considered inappropriate according to a social dress code that dictated a certain standard of dress. By wearing pajamas in public, especially as a rabbi, he would become the subject of gossip and humiliation. Therefore, in order to fit into society and avoid gossip and humiliation, he would wear socially acceptable clothing out in public, even though it was far less comfortable than the pajamas. The fear of not being the subject of gossip and humiliation in society thus directs much of our social life. However, envy is not a bad quality in and of itself. Whether envy is negative or positive depends on what society values. We commonly feel envy as bad because we value egoistic qualities in society, that is, we look up to the bigger, the stronger, the faster and the better in society, people who can outcompete their way to a certain level of materialistic success. If we instead appreciated positive social connection as a leading value, whether more united, altruistic, kind and caring a society is, then its members would be happier, safer and more confident. Likewise, envy would also invert and become a positive quality. In other words, if there were a pro-social atmosphere enveloping society, with people primarily respecting and valuing contributions that strengthen social solidarity and unification, then we would envy people who appear more altruistic, caring, kind and loving. Since we would value connection, then we would see no point in bringing down these people, as it would oppose the values circulating through society. Rather, envy would make us want to change ourselves in order to become more altruistic, caring, kind and loving as we perceive others. Envy would thus not only become positive, but it would become a key factor in transforming ourselves for the better in order to improve human society. Instead of envy leading to all kinds of manipulation, exploitation and abuse, as it does in our current materialistic world, envy in a society that values pro-social qualities would lead to our becoming more supportive, encouraging and caring of each other. It would create an atmosphere of healthy competition, serving to motivate and inspire society's members to realize themselves by benefiting others and society. Such a society would then be on course to new levels of happiness and well-being. Envy thus is not bad in and of itself. Whether it is bad or good depends on the values permeating our society. If we learn to shift our values from egoistic, individualistic and materialistic ones to altruistic and pro-social ones, then our envy would serve to expand the latter traits throughout society, which would in turn make us happier, healthier, safer and more confident people. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is the greatest pleasure in the world? It is written that there is no greater pleasure than reconciling opposites. Contradiction is a state of indecisiveness, as if we are squeezed in between a set of pliers. We have no idea where truth or lies are, nor how to behave. However, we need to resolve this contradiction. When it becomes resolved, it feels like the greatest pleasure. We are given all kinds of contradictions and doubts in order for us to eventually reach a request for help from their common source. In other words, nature intentionally includes opposites in order to bring us to a feeling that we need their resolution in their common source, the higher force of nature, a pure altruistic quality behind everything we experience. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. My new article on LinkedIn, Jews versus Israel. It is nothing new that Jews are campaigning against the state of Israel. It began with various Orthodox groups that objected to the founding of the Jewish state, and is continuing now with groups such as Jewish Voice for Peace, or individuals such as Noam Chomsky, Bernie Sanders, and others. Recently, the campaigning of Jews against Israel has even come to the corporate world when a group of 250-odd Jewish employees of Google signed a letter urging its CEO to recognize the harm done to Palestinians by Israeli military and gang violence. The signatories also object to the conflation of Israel with the Jewish people, declare that anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, and demand, among other things, the termination of contracts with institutions that support Israeli violations of Palestinian rights. In some sense, I do agree with them, though not in the sense they would probably hope I would. Indeed, we, Israelis, are not conducting ourselves as Jews. The word Yehudi, Jew, represents two things. 1. Our origin, the ancient kingdom of Yehuda, Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem. 2. Yeshudi, united/unique, meaning the aspiration for unity, for oneness. This is why the Jews made the tenet "love your neighbor as yourself" their foremost commandment. Because today, we are so far away from unity, I agree that we are not conducting ourselves as Jews. When Abraham began to assemble people around him and form the nucleus of the Jewish nation, there were no Jews. There were Babylonians, where he lived. Abraham spoke to them and called on them to unite. He invited everyone, indiscriminately. In Mishneh Torah, Maimonides writes that Abraham began to call out to the whole world, wandering from town to town and from kingdom to kingdom until he arrived in the land of Canaan. When people gathered around him and asked him about his words, he taught everyone, until he brought them to the path of truth. Therefore, if we are not united, we are disconnected from the heart and soul of Judaism, from the very meaning of being Jewish. And if we are not calling on the whole world to unite, as did the father of our nation, Abraham, we are not carrying out his legacy. So in what way are we Jewish? And if we aren't really Jewish, then what is our claim on the land of Israel? We can do more than silence our critics both within Judaism and among the nations of the world. We can bring everyone to support us, including Hamas and anyone we currently perceive as our worst enemy. But for this, we must first stop hating one another and start living up to Abraham's legacy of unity and oneness. And we must begin with each other, saying we want to unite with all the nations, while at the same time vilifying, pillorying, and demonizing our own people, exposes our insincerity. When we unite with one another, above all the current divisions among us, the nations will believe our candor and gladly join our efforts. The worst anti-Semites in history, such as Adolf Hitler, Henry Ford, Vasily Shulgin, and countless others, all wrote about their contempt for Jews because of their hatred of each other. Objecting to the security, and even existence of the State of Israel, sends the world a message of internal division, and the world responds accordingly, with disgust toward us. No other nation denies its own right for sovereignty, and no other nation places its own people last in the list. By doing so, we are not appeasing the nation's anger, we are increasing it and turning it into hatred, since we are proving that we are not striving for unity. Only if we return to our roots, the aspiration for unity, we will win the world's favor and support. Our nation was created so as to be an am segula, a virtuous nation. Our only virtue is our unique unity. When people of diverse backgrounds, faiths, and cultures have united into a single nation, as did Abraham with his disciples. Without being a virtuous nation, there is no benefit to the world from our existence, and it wants to do away with us. This is what we are beginning to experience more vividly today, and it will continue to escalate until we understand the message and adopt the virtue of unity and oneness, or suffer the consequences that our nation has suffered so many times before. Who paints the picture of the universe? Question: is it my thought or the Creator's thought that turns me from one desire to another? How can I be sure that I do not exchange a cow for a donkey? Answer: everything depends on the right response to what happens. This is how the Creator paints the picture of the universe for you. In fact, there is nothing in it, nothing exists. All the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human levels of nature, everything that you see before you, are merely a reflection of your brain, which is based on four phases of the desire that draw all these objects for you. Therefore, it all depends on how you will perceive it. Take note of this and begin to gradually master the perception of reality in this way. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 3, 2019. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Zohar for all, Vayikra, item 83. Behold, Your king will come unto you, certainly, and not you to him. He will come to you to appease you, he will come to you to raise you, he will come to you to compliment you in everything, he will come to you to raise you to his palace, to bond with you in everlasting bonding, for all times, as it is written, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. The ring that surrounds them both is a special quality that connects the created beings and the Creator forever. Then we will all rise together to the degree of the absolute, perfect light. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 14. All of spirituality is fulfilled in the ten. Question: does the expression as an ox to the burden refer to states in which we don't see the future? How should we relate to the external world in such states when everything seems bad? Answer: you will not be able to come out of bad states to good states in any way if you do not have a group. It is only in the ten. When you gather in the ten and seemingly create one unique whole, although you are different from each other, then you build inside you an attribute that is made of many different elements, which you do not even suspect exist because each of you is a huge complex system. When you connect, one unique whole is created among you. But in fact the system is made of many different opposite parts. It is like every modern technical system, such as an electronic system or a computer system, in which there are many mutual and opposite combinations, but together they create a system that operates as one unique whole. Without this system, you will not be able to advance in any way. So when you feel bad, only your ten can help you. If you are in a state of dissent, the nine friends that are connected to each other can pull you out of this state. This is the only way. There is no other way. This is the reason that each one is given a state of dissent, in order to unite the ten. Today I am in a state of dissent and tomorrow it will be you, and then him, and so on. Everyone will go through these states and this is how we will create the Creator's name, where each one pulls the others up. But you will not be able to do anything without a ten. All of spirituality is fulfilled only in the ten. There is nothing in an individual person. Make a note of that. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 24, 2019. How are names given in the corporeal and spiritual worlds? Question: you say that names are given randomly according to a certain trend or for other reasons. How should we give a child a name correctly so that it will reflect the Creator's attributes in him? Answer: I wouldn't do that. First of all, give him a simple ordinary name that is popular among people and not a name that will hurt or humiliate him in any way, a name that he will not be ridiculed for at school or at the playground. Second, don't think that if you give a child or any other person a specific name you will change his fate by that. It is said, he who changes his place, changes his fate. But the term place refers to levels of the spiritual ladder. So of course you change your fate. It is the same regarding a name: the higher we ascend on the spiritual ladder, the higher our names are. But calling a person one name or another does not mean anything. Stop believing in those amulets. Question: does a person who begins to climb the spiritual ladder acquire a name automatically? Answer: he receives a name according to the spiritual level he is on. This is the reason that he can be called by one name at one time and by another name another time. The Torah also tells us about it when it seemingly tells us about people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter Betia, etc. Yet, these are not people but parts of a single soul. A person who attains the spiritual world goes through these states. At one time he is like Pharaoh, another time he is like Abraham, and another time he is like King David, etc. So go through these states as quickly as possible. This is the main thing. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 24, 2019.